Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. As you know, it's God's house, and He has provided it for us to come and to worship and to praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen indeed. As I said in our opening, and as we all are aware, tomorrow is Memorial Day. It is not a religious holiday. It is a federal holiday, a day which has been set aside for us to honor those who served and some who and many of whom have died in service of our military. It started out, it was to honor only the dead, and then it was expanded to honor all those who have served. And a question that I want us to look at today is, does God have memorials that He wishes us to observe? And the question is yes. We know from reading our Bibles that in many instances a rock or pile of rocks would be placed by some man in the Bible to honor an occurrence that involved God either protecting them, or when Abraham was spared having to kill his son. And they, of course, they would name the spot, and that would be a memorial for the people to remember. There were many feasts that the Jewish people participated in, which was to honor and to be a memorial. And we want to look at some of the memorials that God talks about in His Word this morning. But during the 1600s, there lived an emperor in India named Shah Jahan. And his beloved wife died while giving birth to their 14th child. And the emperor locked himself in his quarters for nine days. And when he emerged, his raven black hair had turned completely white. And he had a dream. He had a heart filled with a dream. And part of that dream was to build a tomb to house his wife's body as a memorial to her. The construction of the tomb required 22,000 men and women working 24 hours a day for 22 years. It was built of white marble, decorated with 28 different gems. A sheet of pearls was spread over the coffin doors, which were made of solid silver. And a solid gold railing surrounded the tomb. And I wonder, does anyone know the name of this memorial in India? The Taj Mahal. The Taj Mahal is one of the most famous memorials in the world. And it is a memorial to death. The emperor did not build it while his wife lived, only after she died. And such is often the case with memorials. They are built to remember someone we loved or respected after they are deceased. And a memorial helps us to remember an occasion or a person. And I want us to review an example of when God asked His people to remember. Our text this morning is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 through 12. And I invite you to follow along in your Bible as I read Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 through 12. This is Moses has received the Ten Commandments from God, and the writer of Deuteronomy is telling us what God has said to the people. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that you may enjoy long life. Hear, O Israel, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant. Then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. May God add his blessing to our reading, hearing, and studying of his word. Here in this sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, God is asking his people to remember. He is saying, I want you to instill memories in your family. I want you to help them remember the commandments and decrees that I am giving to your leader, Moses, today. God is saying, build a memorial in your family to remember. He's saying, I want you to remember. I want you to help your family remember those commandments I am giving. The people of Israel eventually took these commands literally. The Jews created little leather boxes called phylacteries and tied them on their forehead and hands. I don't know if you've seen the Jewish people when they're wearing these as they go to temple, but they look strange, but they're little boxes that are on top of their heads, and they are a cube shape, and then they're flat ones on their arms. They each one contained a portion of God's law written on parchment. And the Israelites built a box called a mezuzah, which contained a portion of God's law and was nailed to their door frames. They even wrote on their door frames the commands and laws of God. And this practice seems fairly innocent because the boxes were helpful in reminding the people of their commitment to God's law. But a problem developed over a period of time because many Israelites eventually forgot about God's law and they began putting their faith in these little leather boxes. God wanted his commands, his law, all of them, to be upon the hearts of the people and not put merely in a box. But the faithful of Israel got to the point that they focused more on the boxes than on the contents in the boxes. Obviously, there is something seriously wrong with this thinking. This type of ritual puts an unhealthy focus on a man-made box, and carried to the extreme, the boxes become memorials not to God's living word, but to a dead faith. People can become so focused on their little boxes. They believe that as long as they perform their religious rituals and touch the little boxes, they can ignore God's commandment. As long as they touch the little box, they believe their religious obligations had been fulfilled. And we think to ourselves, how silly the Jews are. But of course, people in denominational congregations who do much of the same thing, they touch holy objects, light special candles, and believe that such substitutes are okay in place of religious living. We think to ourselves, how silly such denominational people are. However, such can happen to anyone seated in this sanctuary here today. There are many Christians who put their faith inside a little box. It's not a literal box. It can become a religious practice which allegedly counsels out non-Christian behavior. How many of you have heard that if you eat a candy bar and then drink a Diet Cola, the Diet Cola cancels out the calories in the candy bar? How many of you believe that? How many wish it were true? There are many Christians who reason this way about their faith. Telling lies is counseled by attending church. Abusing a spouse is atoned for by faithful attendance at Bible study. Sleeping with your girlfriend or boyfriend is canceled out by giving a gift to the church. Gossip is canceled out by supporting mission work with a gift. This sounds so silly to most of us, but there are those who believe this way. They will place their faith in a little box that they touch once in a while to assure themselves that they are being religious, that they are being righteous. And in the meantime, they dishonor Jesus, the one they claim to love. They build memorials to a dead faith. God teaches us that such beliefs is not correct. He tells us that he wants us to build a living faith in our children. He does not wish it to be a Sunday morning, go to church kind of faith. Remember, God says, impress them on your children, them being his commands. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Do not put your faith in a box. Make it a real thing. Make it a part of everything you do. Incorporate it into every aspect of your life. Carry your faith with you everywhere you go. Remember, we talked some time ago last year about cell phones and how we would turn around and go back and get our cell phone because we didn't want to be without it. That's the way we need to be about our faith. It needs to be a part of everything we do. We need to carry it everywhere we go. God tells us we are to bind his commands upon our hands and our forearms. He didn't mean that we had to put boxes on our heads and on our arms. He meant that we should make our faith so obvious that others could just look at us and know that we are a child of God. God tells us we should write his commandments upon our hearts, upon our door frames and our gates, I'm sorry. He does not mean that we should take a magic marker and write his laws and commands on the door or on the frames. He meant that we should make our faith so much a part of life that others could tell immediately when they entered our home that we were a child of God. The problem for many Christians is they do not live in the manner that God taught. They put their time in on Sunday morning. They go through their little religious rituals, and they think this will carry them and their family through the rest of the week. We know that the average child under age 3 is subjected to about 700 commercials a week on television. We know that the average child age 12 watches 4+ hours of television a week. This doesn't include the amount of time they spend on the internet or the amount of time they spend listening to secular music. Now, we may not be able to control fully such influence in the lives of our children or our grandchildren, but we can expose them to God every opportunity that we have. You know, I'm not trying to underestimate the value of the church. Obviously, I am a man of God, and I teach God's word and preach God's word from this pulpit. But you and your family should be in church every week. But you should make sure that the kids attend summer camp, vacation Bible school, Sunday school, youth group studies and meetings. But you cannot put your faith in someone else and believe that that's enough. We offer here at Ephesus Sunday school classes for children and youth, Bible study on Wednesday night for our youth. Yet ultimately there is no substitute for your child seeing you living the religious practices of your faith that God has taught you. Back in the 1800s, there was a young man who had a profound sense of admiration for his father. His father made sure that the family life revolved around the religious practices of their faith. But then they moved to another city, and in that new city was a Lutheran church, which was the church. All the right people attended this church. And suddenly the father announced that the family was going to give up or abandon their Jewish traditions and join the Lutheran church. And the family was stunned and asked him why they were doing this. And he explained that it would be good for his business. Well, his young son was bewildered and confused, and he had a deep disappointment that soon gave way to anger and a type of intense bitterness which plagued him through his life. This man became a parasite on society. He was a drunk. He was an adulterer. He did not even attend his wife's funeral. Two of his children committed suicide. He died in bankruptcy and despair. He accomplished nothing in his life except one book he wrote entitled Das Kapital. And in this book, he declared that religion is the opiate of the masses. It's the drug of the people. This man was Karl Marx. And his book, Das Kapital, was the basis for communism, which destroyed millions of lives once it became a full-blown political and governmental society. By contrast, I read about a young man who was always late coming home. And his parents would get on him, and they told him that this one particular day they wanted him home on time, and he was later than usual. And his mother met him at the door and said nothing. He met his father in the living room, and he said nothing. And at the dinner table, the young man looked at his dinner, and it consisted of a piece of bread and a glass of water, and there was a full plate in front of his dad, and he looked at the plate, and he looked at his dad, and his dad remained silent. And the young boy was just crushed. And the father waited for the full impact of the situation to sink in, and then he quietly took his own plate, put it in front of the boy, and smiled. When this young man grew to be an adult, he said, "All my life I've known what God is like by what my father did that night. Love, compassion, mercy." God wants us to teach our family to remember, to, in essence, make a memorial to His law and to His commands, to make sure that our children and that their children after them understand that it's necessary to follow God's law. We don't create little boxes that we touch and stick a scripture verse in and let that be our faith. That's not a tribute to God's living word. It's a memorial to a dead faith. Let's remember that as tomorrow we are remembering those who served our country. And we're going to the picnics and shopping and hopefully having a good time. Let's remember that we need to live each day, including Memorial Day, so that our children can see us living out our faith in every aspect of our life, not just on Sunday, but day after day. And if you've not had the privilege of accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior, so that you can memorialize Him through your life, we give you that opportunity this morning. All you need to do is come forward and say, "I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior," and I'll pray with you about that, and we'll talk about where we go from there. But we do invite you to come as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 64.